Facts are better than dreams. One of the dominant themes from our research is that breakthrough results come about by a series of good decisions, diligently executed and accumulated one on top of another. Of course, the good-to-great companies did not have a perfect track record, but on the whole, they made many more good decisions than bad ones, and they made many more good decisions than the comparison companies. Even more important, on the really big choices, such as Kroger's decision to throw all its resources into the task of converting its entire system to the superstore concept, they were remarkably on target. This, of course, begs a question. Are we merely studying a set of companies that just happened by luck to stumble into the right set of decisions? Or was there something distinctive about their process that dramatically increased the likelihood of being right? The answer, it turns out, is that there was something quite distinctive about their process. The good-to-great companies displayed two distinctive forms of disciplined thought. The first, and the topic of this chapter, is that they infused the entire process with the brutal facts of reality. The second, which we will discuss in the next chapter, is that they developed a simple yet deeply insightful frame of reference for all decisions. When, as in the Kroger case, you start with an honest and diligent effort to determine the truth of the situation, the right decisions often become self-evident. Not always, of course, but often. And even if all decisions do not become self-evident, one thing is certain. You absolutely cannot make a series of good decisions without first confronting the brutal facts. The good-to-great companies operated in accordance with this principle, and the comparison companies generally did not. Consider Pitney Bowes versus Adressograph. It would be hard to find two companies in more similar positions at a specific moment in history that then diverged so dramatically. Until 1973, they had similar revenues, profits, numbers of employees, and stock charts. Both companies held near-monopoly market positions with virtually the same customer base: Pitney Bowes in postage meters and Adressograph in address duplicating machines. And both faced the imminent reality of losing their monopolies. By 2000, however, Pitney Bowes had grown to over 30,000 employees and revenues in excess of $4 billion compared to the sorry remnants of Adressograph, which had less than $100 million and only 670 employees. For the shareholder, Pitney Bowes outperformed Adressograph 3,581 to 1. Yes, 3,581 times better. In 1976, a charismatic visionary leader named Roy Ashe became CEO of Adressograph. A self-described conglomerateur, Ashe had previously built Litton by stacking acquisitions together that had since faltered. According to Fortune, he sought to use Adressograph as a platform to reestablish his leadership prowess in the eyes of the world.